Ready for some straight talk on sustainability programs that pay? You got it. This episode of Extreme Ag's Cutting the Curve.
Welcome to Extreme Ag's Cutting the Curve podcast, where real farmers share real insights and real results to help you improve your farming operation. This episode of Cutting the Curve is brought to you by Claas, where machines aren't just made, they're made for more. With a wide range of tractors, combines, foragers, and hay tools, Claas is a family business just as driven, demanding, and dedicated as yours. Go to Claas.com and start cutting your curve with their cutting-edge equipment. And now, here's your host, Damian Mason.
Hey there, welcome to another fantastic episode of Extreme Ag's Cutting the Curve. I got Johnny Burrell, Jackson, Tennessee farmer, progressive, forward-thinking. I've been to his farm, very impressive. He's been no-tilling since 1991, to put this in perspective. And to say he's ahead of the curve is, maybe putting it lightly. But the point here is there's these sustainability programs. You've heard about them. You've read about them. You've heard some chatter. You've got your antenna up and you think, I'm not sure if I really believe in some of this stuff. We're going to give you straight scoop on this, because the heck of it is, while Johnny and the Varel people down there have been no-tilling for 30 plus years, they just started getting paid for some of their practices now. Yes, there are sustainability programs that will put money in your hot little hand based on your past practices. Also for the documentation that you do to verify these things. You see, we're going to pull the curtain back and let you know how all this works, simplify it so you can start making money in what is going to be a potentially financially belt-tightening year. This might be a chance for you to add margin to acres doing stuff that you're already doing. Johnny, give me the scoop.
Yeah, so everybody's been hearing about sustainability for the last several years. And, you know, farmers have been sustainable for a while if we've been in business. You know, I think it's pretty obvious most farmers have figured out how to be sustainable. Like you said in the opening comments there, my dad and granddad started no-tilling back in the early 90s, and we transitioned into a full-scale no-till operation. And, you know, things have changed over time. We've added more sustainability things. Like early 2000, we started verberating fertilizer. When I was in college, that's kind of what I learned how to do, how to write prescriptions and understand the tools you needed to make that work. So we kind of transitioned into that.
And, you variable rated fertilizer 20 years ago, and there's still folks that were telling them this is really something you should look into for yield, for environmental purposes, but more important, for your bottom line. So I think you got a pretty good handle on the variable rate. Were you doing that? You said 20 plus years ago, you started variable rating fertilizer, and that's not at time of planting. You know, that's period. That's on broad acre application, everything.
Yeah. We did it across every acre. We started pulling grid samples in 2001. My granddad was, you know, I guess at the time in his late 70s, and he was still running the fertilizer truck. Well, we had to put computers in the trucks and put modems and processors in the trucks, and he still wanted to run the fertilizer truck, so I'd actually sit in the passenger seat and run the computer side. He would still run the fertilizer truck. So it was pretty neat back then, because he was a believer in it. He could see how much fertilizer we were saving, because you're able to get over more acres without filling up. So, you know, a farmer can see it multiple ways, but when you're sitting in the truck and you're getting less fill-up time, you may not be able to keep spreading because you got more product in the truck still. That really worked for us, and it was just a big savings to us. And you basically went from farming a field to farming individual fields inside that field. So there's no way you'd be more sustainable until you start breaking down a field and actually farming a 25 acre field as 25 acres or 25 fields itself.
And when so I was when I first started hearing about variable rate fertility, I went back to my soil judging days, and I'm like, okay, if you're at the bottom of a rural, you know, area that's got real rich black, it's got organic matter in it versus the top, maybe that's where you don't need it at the bottom, you don't need, you know, at the top. But the reality is it's based on the yield, it's based on a whole bunch of other things, CEC, water exchange, all those kind of things. And then since I worked with Extreme Ag, they start talking like, isn't some uncrazy thing like a corn plant only absorbs like 35% of the nitrogen or the P that you're putting out there. So flinging more out there doesn't make you more yield. It was just flinging out money out the back of the fertility apparatus, right?
And then just like tying into that, we started getting into split applying nitrogen, split applying other nutrients throughout the growing season to put them in the plant right when they need them versus front loading it. Could get a rain, could leach it, could volatilize, however it is. So tying into exactly what you were saying, like things have changed over time. So you start pulling a split applying your nitrogen and using nitrogen stabilizer, stuff like that, which almost every farmer's doing now. There's programs out there that will start rewarding you for your good farming practices, your sustainability practices on your farm. And that's one thing, you know, we kind of transitioned to the last few years. We got into conservation stewardship program, which is a federal program that we're in. And then now you're starting to open up to more and more of these programs that you hear out there through True Terra, through ARVA, different ones like that, that really are going to start rewarding the farmer for being a good steward, just like they should. And, you know, sometimes you kind of get gridlocked because you're like, well, I can't no-till anymore. I'm already no-till. I can't reduce tillage there because I've already reduced all the tillage. Well, then there's certain programs out there that are starting to fall into place to really let you capitalize on what we're doing here, you know, on our farm.
Yeah, so there's this idea, and we're going to talk about the program here in a second, but okay, you've got a program through ARVA, you're getting money from Nestle ultimately for these things, and there's this question that the listener is going to have, certainly the skeptical listener. Well, they made Johnny start doing no-till. Nope, been doing it for 33 years. And then there's the one that I think is problematic. Some programs, government programs, CRP, you know, if you had crappy ground that you grew oats in, they won't let you put that in CRP. They punish you for having been a good steward already. The good thing about this program, it's not punishing you for having been a good steward. You didn't have to go out and start moldboard plowing for 3 years to let your soil wash away, then to get enrolled for switching back to no-till. You're getting rewarded for what you've already done. Variable rate, no-till, split nitrogen, nitrogen reduction, nitrogen inhibitor, all the things that you've been doing, you're getting some payback for that. Not just for the crops, not just for the benefit of the soil, you're going to pay back from the ARVA program.
That's right. And they even tie into your yield versus like your county yield average. They'll sit there and do a baseline of what your county's doing. And then if you're coming in above your county average, that helps you qualify too, because that means you're being sustainable. You're increasing yields and being sustainable, which is kind of like a double plus for them. So they kind of reward you to thinking outside the box and increasing your yields, which sometimes it's hard to do when you start doing some of these things, but there's a lot of things going on right now that allow you to do both.
Kelly Garrett's big point that we're going to be talking about, Commodity Classic, is my sustainability program and my high yield program are converging. We used to think that somehow sustainability meant that you went out there and, you know, petted butterflies and flinged out some bat dung and said, oh, it's all natural, but I'll never grow anything here. And the reality is that's not true. You can see a convergence on his part where sustainability practices, meaning cover crops, reduction of tillage, using animals in the regenerative cycle, animal manure, natural products, chicken litter, you know, biological sources. By the way, biologicals, do you use biologicals? And did that matter on getting approved for this?
Yes, and I think going forward it's going to increase your chances or increase your ranking going forward for sure, the biologicals will.
What about, okay, and we're going to talk about it. Real quickly, because the person that's wanting to know this, we're going to have to get to that. We'll get to the money portion of it. But yes, Johnny is in a program and he's getting paid for it. But we're going to talk about some of the things that you're doing. You didn't change most of the stuff you'd already been doing. Crop rotation, reduction of nitrogen. Did you verify? I mean, or is it just saying, hey, I use products that allow me to reduce nitrogen use, like, you know, the Sound or Source and those kinds of things. Is that where your Pivot Bio's program, did you prove that or how did that work?
Yeah, so that you actually have to prove what you've done. So you got to have good records being kept, and really having a good platform for all that to be used on and streamlined is big for us. So we were using a program that was really easy for everybody to see. And, you know, our nitrogen use efficiency has really changed in the last few years. Yeah. You know, we used to try to be 1.1 or something like that, 1.1. Now we're, you know, getting closer to 0.7. So that all helps in your ranking because, once again, you're being sustainable. You're being sustainable because you're putting out less. It could be because you're doing multiple applications or, you know, the nitrogen stabilizers too that a lot of people are using. But, you know, talking about Kelly a while ago,
is it safe to say you've cut your nitrogen, your nitrogen utilization, you've cut your nitrogen application by about 40% per bushel?
Per bushel, yes.
About 40% less nitrogen now per bushel produced than you were just 10 years ago, 20?
Yeah, for sure. 20 years ago, for sure. It's ticked down, and then some of the biologicals we're using has really helped ramp that up and help us really, you know, curve that off quite a bit. And you were mentioning to Kelly a while ago, that's what's been eye-opening with me, and that's what I love about Extreme Ag is how you get to hear what everybody's doing all across the country, because Kelly's been in this program for several years now. I'm just now getting into it at the level I am in the last year. So hearing what people are doing, yeah, sometimes it doesn't work on you, but a lot of times there's a program out there that will fit your operation.
So you've got this this program now going. Did you have to change any of – did you have to implement any new practices this year to be eligible, or was pretty much what you've already done and proven been adequate?
That's right. That's how this program worked this year, what I was already doing.
It was based on what you've already done. All right, the program is with a company called Arva. The money comes from Nestle through Arva. Without boring anybody, I want to hear how you signed up, and I want to hear about how much money it is. Before I do that, if you're listening to this episode, I want you to realize that our friends Nature's helped it come to you. Nature's is one of our business partners. They're focused on providing sustainable farming solutions and helping maintain the genetic potential in your crops for today and also for future generations. Nature's high-quality liquid fertilizers, powered by Nature's Bio-K, can be targeted at specific periods of influence. That's right. Whether you wanted it V2, V3, V6, whatever, the point is you can put this product, their products out there in a spoon-feeding, sustainable fashion, so you're not just flinging out fertilizer. You're putting it out when the crop needs it to get maximum yield, and you're also making sure it gets full efficiency and utilization. You can do it throughout the growing season. Nature's products can help you mitigate plant stress, enhance crop yield, and most importantly, boost your farm's ROI. Go to natures.com to check it out. How'd you get signed up? How much are you making?
Yeah, I had a local guy come by and talk to me about it, and he helped me through the sign-up process through Arva, and we were using Operations Center, which is owned by Deer, to prove all our records of our applications from fertility to, you know, no tillage passes to, you know, all this stuff was flowing through Operations Center, so that was how we actually able to back the data up, and then, you know, it just transitioned into what it is. And there's different payments for corn, wheat, soybeans, rice, and all that, you know, different crops out there. But for us, corn was the one that they wanted. They asked for our corn acres, and so we turned in our corn acres last year, and it was a really good program for us.
All right, so you get signed up. You pulled the track record basically off of Operations Center or off of your John Deere. So the data was already there. And then are you in a contract that they then control you? Because that's the other big problem, the skepticism in the Farm Belt. Well, they're going to tell you what you have to do. What's the contract actually look like, Johnny?
Yeah, it's year to year. So this coming year, soybeans may be what they're wanting, or wheat may be what they're wanting. And it is sometimes tied back to carbon. So you got to always keep that in mind, which crops, you know, benefit from that the best. But, you know, this past year it was corn for me. This coming year, I'm hoping to get maybe paid on wheat and corn. So that would be a great deal. And then, you know, maybe there is a time where I can do the double crop corn where I'm removing a wheat crop and a corn crop in the same year, which should be a huge, you know, benefit.
You get paid. Who's the check come from?
It's going to come through Arva.
It's come through Arva. But ultimately, they told you it's on a program that is funded by Nestle?
That's absolutely right. Yeah. And all these big companies are out there. And they're going to partner with companies like Arva or TruTerra, and they're going to go out and find the acres, and they're going to get the data put in. They're going to find the farmers that are qualified, because Nestle doesn't have unlimited resources to go out there and find all these farmers all across the company. But TruTerra and Arva and these other companies can go in there, and they can work with local, regional, you know, people and find the pockets that they're needing for the acres.
I want to go through. And you're getting about $25 an acre on corn acres.
That's right.
And that's per year.
Per year.
Chance that it might go up next year.
It can go up, can go down. You know, right. It's just too early. Hopefully in the next few weeks, I will know more about what this year's going to be.
Well, I think the reluctance would be from a lot of people, like, well, it's only going to be a few bucks and it's not worth my time. Well, $25 is worth your time, because you didn't have to, I'm looking at your list here that you provided me. You didn't have to. It's not like you took a week and a half and devoted just to this. You pulled the stuff that's pretty much from records you already have.
Yeah, if you got good clean records the last several years, it's real easy to give them everything you need. If you don't have some type of digital record keeping software, yeah, it could take a while to go back in and improve everything, but with digital records, it's easy.
Okay, and you wrote on here, things needed, have good data and data that's easy to get to. And I'm going to run through this, and you can just give me a quick clarification, give the listener a quick clarification if it makes any sense. Field boundaries, well, meaning to the field and acres, basically, is what that's about, right? Verifying acres.
Yeah, to have the digital boundaries in it. Yep.
Soil samples, makes sense. And you just have to provide soil sampling data, say, here's where our numbers are? Okay.
That's right.
Water management practices, is that you saying here's how much I use or here's how much I irrigate? Because a lot of guys,
if they want to know on this field here how much irrigation, how many inches of water you put this year, you need to go to supply that to them also.
So for somebody in my part of the world where we don't really irrigate anything, it wouldn't even be a point. Cropping history makes sense, including if you used any cover crops.
Yeah.
Your verification of tillage practices. How far back do you have to go on this?
I think it was 3 years or 4 years that they were on
the nitrogen management and application and history of nitrogen over the last several years, right?
Right.
Okay, and that's the biggie. And you also use a nitrogen stabilizer, you use nitrogen enhancers, all that stuff. Your annual crop yield, your pesticide application for the last 3 years and the volumes, your fuel consumption. Which that's kind of easy, isn't it? You kind of just divide, you know, roughly how many gallons of diesel you spend on an acre.
With John Deere's operation center, it provides all that for you. So you know exactly what you had in an acre as far as gallons of fuel.
Then you wrote on here that that help your score so that you can get picked up to maybe make some of this money is being good on your yield comparative to the resources utilized helps, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And then, obviously, proving good agronomics. I think somebody that's excessive tillage and some of those other things are going to get you kicked out, right?
That's right. That's right.
Anything else on making money and making sense off of a sustainability program?
I would just try to find a good partner to partner with in this that's got a good reputation and can help get you entered in, because you can give your information to the wrong person and never get anywhere with it. So.
And that's the company that's the intermediary that we're talking about?
That's right. That's right. I just found a good partner to partner with.
Got it. I like it. So we just talked about, gave you some straight talk, making sense on sustainability programs that can make you money and making sustainability pay. You know what? Don't be intimidated by this. That's why we've got Kelly Garrett as one of the absolute forefront of this. That's how we met, he and I, 3 years ago, was because he was getting some of this program. So you hear the words carbon, you hear the word sustainability, and it scares you, but it shouldn't. By the way, if you want to learn more about this, we are going to be at Commodity Classic Extreme Ag on stage with Truterra talking about sustainability, about the real definition of sustainability, how we can make it sense, how you can use these programs to your advantage, how it should not be overwhelming or intimidating to you. It can be just like this, just like John had a conversation. He grabbed some stuff off his John Deere Operations Center, filled out a few applications, told him some stuff. He's getting $25 an acre. Couldn't you use that? More simple than people probably think, eh?
Can be.
More simple than you thought.
That's right.
And it's working. And you're still chugging along here. And appreciate you sharing this information with us. His name is Johnny Varel. My name is Damian Mason. Until next time, thanks for being here. I hope to see you at Commodity Classic. We'll be there. It's on Thursday. That's right, Thursday. I'm looking at the calendar right now. That's February 29th at 7 a.m. If I'm waking up at that early to be on stage at 7 a.m., you know it's going to be a good time. So come to it. Thursday, February 29th at Commodity Classic, 7 a.m. It's the Learning Center. We're going to be there. Me, Johnny, Kelly, Matt, and probably the rest of Extreme Ag also, but we're going to be the ones on stage. Talk to you then. Thanks for being here. Thanks, Johnny.
Thank you.
Till next time, I'm Dave Mason. This is Extreme Ag's Cutting the Curve.
That's a wrap for this episode of Cutting the Curve. Make sure to check out extremeag.farm for more great content to help you squeeze more profit out of your farming operation. Cutting the Curve is brought to you by Kloss, where machines aren't just made, they're made for more. Visit kloss.com and start cutting your curve with cutting-edge equipment.